You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. As we turn now to Metro Detroit's music scene, this is the first of what will be a monthly look and listen at Detroit area artists. Our guides for this are Paul Young, founder and publisher of Detroit Music Magazine, with us now via Skype. And also with us is Executive Director Khalid Bhatti. And it's wonderful to welcome you both to Stateside.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Cynthia. Yeah.
Paul, tell us first about Detroit Music Magazine. I know it was launched October 2013. Why did you start DMM? What was the missing piece you wanted to fill?
At the time I was doing a marketing job. I was fresh out of college. I was living at home and I was kind of feeling this need for a creative outlet. And I went to school for journalism, online journalism. So I was very much excited about digital publishing. You know, I was really into the music scene, especially in Detroit, and I saw this void in the media world, the local media world, or where people could find events and new music and reviews on music that was not being covered nationally. So I used a 6-year-old laptop and started logging events and writing about 3 articles a day. And I pretty shortly after that moved downtown and really became entrenched in the music scene down there. And I was lucky enough to meet Khalid at a place where I was working. We were doing digital marketing, and I was introduced to him by a mutual colleague. And from that point on, DMM really started to take off.
And Khalid, as executive editor, what's your goal for DMM?
I think that our goal has always been to cover the gamut, the wide range and variety of music that Detroit offers and has always offered for the last 50, 60 years since, you know, Motown and all the way through to today. I think we want to reach a lot of different types of readers, but we want to make sure that content that we produce is excellent, has high quality, and really that we're the authority on Detroit music.
And what areas do you all cover?
Definitely Detroit is the locus of our coverage. It's the focal point. But we do expand a little bit outside of the Metro Detroit area. We do cover some Ann Arbor or Ypsilanti-based artists, some Flint-based artists, especially if they have this clout that associates them with Detroit. So, for example, so a band like Wolf Eyes or an artist like Tunde Olaniran, they're pulled into the Detroit orbit, and people nationwide associate them with Detroit. And that's been the case if you look at someone like Iggy Pop or even the Belleville Three. They're not necessarily right in the city limits, but they're part of the Detroit story.
We love Tunde. We've had him here on Stateside. All right, let's turn to this month's featured artist, beginning with Swordfish from their debut album, which is titled
Rodea.
You look less like a ghost and more like a sheep with 2 eye holes cut out that I wore last Halloween so that you couldn't see my mouth.
Tell us about this band, where they're from, how long they've been together.
Yeah, Swordfish is a contemporary emo revival group. They're from Ypsilanti, Michigan. This record is really kind of bringing back kind of some nostalgia for what was kind of the emo genre, I guess you could say, but also a lot of classic rock kind of vibes. And when you listen to it, there's almost some reflecting happening of like the college rock era. And, when you really get into that sound where you're hearing this horn and the chanty kind of vocals, this band has really kind of been riding in this underground space that I think we saw a little more prevalently and a little more in the mainstream, maybe in like the early 2000s and the late 90s. So we're really seeing this kind of like the Swordfish sound come back, but it's really kind of refreshing to hear. It's like we haven't heard it in a long time.
And we talk for hours about anything or the snow. And it wasn't long until I had nothing left.
Bye.
Lloyd, what do you most like about this band Swordfish?
Oftentimes when we hear the word emo, we think it's overwrought or even can go excessive to the point of being screamo. And I think what's really interesting about what they do is they'll make these really plangent sort of statements, really like poignant ones, but they sing them with almost like a deadpan, dead-eyed, po-faced delivery. It's kind of a nice juxtaposition to see a deep well of emotion hiding behind like a flat affect almost.
All right, now we're going to switch gears and we're going over to Laurel Halo, who's about to release her third full-length album. And let's start by taking a listen to some of Jelly. This is a track from her upcoming album, Dust.
Good for a kill, for a flavor.
Paul, tell us a little more about Laurel. Where is she from?
Laurel Halo is a kind of mix of genres, but certainly electronic and some R&B. And she's from the Ann Arbor area, but now resides in Berlin. What I really like about the song, it has a really unconventional beat. And the first thing that struck me was that this is obviously somebody who has a background in like music theory, right? Where sometimes you hear this beat or this rhythm that seems almost off tempo, but it's really just a complex combination of different tempos. And the other thing that's really interesting, I think, in this song is there's a lot of familiar electronic elements, such as like the clap, the bass, even the electronic keyboard that you hear at the beginning and the end. But they're being used in kind of different ways and in that kind of offbeat tempo. And so it's really a different kind of taste of electronic. We're used to hearing that chugging, thumping kind of rhythm. So this is really refreshing. It's very different. And I think that people who are into certain types of electronic music might not find this to be reflective of most of what's kind of mainstream electronic.
And college, there's a lot of collaboration on this album.
Right. Laurel Halo is fond of collaboration. And I think with this album that's coming up, she's returning to the use of her voice. Two albums ago, Quarantine, it was really interesting to hear these sparse sort of like airless electronic soundscapes and her vocals, which were untreated. And she's not, by any means, does she consider herself a singer, but using her voice as another element in the mix. What she did with Jelly and what it appears that she's doing with her upcoming album, Dust, is that she's adding more voices to the mix. Her last album, between Quarantine and Dust, she went purely instrumental. So this time she's got a whole host of vocal collaborators. And you can hear that on the song Jelly. Just like there's all these interesting little sounds in the mix, there's about three different types of voices that you hear. You hear Laurel Halo's voice. You also hear Klein's voice. She's an R&B singer. And you get to experience this sort of Mobius strip of winding textures and interlocking vocals. But the vocals are often very, like, again, flat and sort of, they're not imbued with this sort of melisma that you hear in traditional R&B. So it keeps you on your toes. It feels like you're seasick almost.
Now we go to our third artist, T. Grizzly, and I want you to start by telling us a little about this artist, Khaled.
Yeah, his story, T. Grizzly, or Terry Wallace, as he was born, his story is full of ups and downs, and right now he's on the come up. His first single that he broke through with, First Day Out, it is a story of his release from a 3-year prison sentence, and that imprisonment was the result of a whole bunch of home invasions that happened in East Lansing, specifically at Hubbard Hall, which is name-dropped in First Day Out. Hey, Wando, hey, Theo, ain't it a blessing? We made it out Kentucky after all that happened. After the pre-trials, after the status, after them impact statements, after the castle. Hey, JR, ain't it a blessing? We made it out of Lansing after all that happened. That bitch, after Michigan State, after Hubbard, when our mans told on us, them bands they took from us. Joy Rhodes, if with the money long as 6 mile, brick mile, knock your hop down. It's interesting because after he got out of prison, he got signed to a record deal with 300 Entertainment. And in an interesting twist, he offered to pay back anybody he stole from. And he wrote this song in prison, and it's sort of an ode to, like, sticking through it, you know, like trying to make up for lost time when you get out. And that's exactly what he's been doing since he was released.
What kind of commercial success did T. Grizzly have with First Day Out?
Well, it's certainly led to that record deal. Yeah. He's been able to collaborate with other artists, including Lil Yachty. He's been able to meet Kendrick Lamar. And I think that it's kind of been his entree into the hip hop world. He was recently nominated for the XXL freshman list. He didn't make it, but, you know, it's a sign. Yeah, it's a sign that he's being taken seriously by the rap game. In France, paint a face like Picasso. I iced out my Vatos. I'm really a bigger Beamer, big bands in my Bentley necks. Don't play around on my phone. Gimme, watch on my wrist. Out of date, but it's Rolex. Grizzly up next. I'm up now. Strap your bullet vest. 550, 600 hundreds, 720s. Let's get straight to it. 810s. What's that? 8 bands. Hit the store and get some rubber bands. Let's get straight to it. Everybody come together. Everybody got the plan. He came with two. So if and Paul, now the most recently released song from his mixtape, My Moment, is From the D to the A. Tell us about this song.
Yeah, and actually, this is kind of an outlier. It's not officially part of the My Moment mixtape, but it is a single that was released after the debut. And it's really important, I think, to note that this is really like the coming out party of Detroit street rap. And Detroit street rap, I'm kind of mean very locally grown, like really homegrown stuff. And if you roll up to a street light in the city of Detroit, this is like the kind of stuff that locals have been listening to since the late 90s, early 2000s. And I'm talking about artists like, you know, Blade Icewood, Eastside Cheddar Boys, Street Lord Juan. These are like living legends in Detroit. And outside of the Detroit area, very few people recognize those names. So to have someone like T. Grizzly, who's taken a lot of influence from those artists and make it to the main stage to work with someone like Lil Yachty, is really huge for Detroit street culture and the Detroit street rap scene. And it's very different from mainstream hip hop. There's a lot of really intense themes. It's very aggressive. And there's also some very stylistic views that come from that type of music. The way that a lyric kind of lingers to the point of almost being offbeat, the way that the beat is just like knocking, those are just very strong characteristics of Detroit street rap. And I think T. Grizzly has embraced a lot of those aspects.
You guys have certainly brought us three really interesting, different artists. So we're going to enjoy each month as we check in with you. Just to recap, we've been talking about Swordfish, Laurel Halo, and T. Grizzly. And you can learn more about these and lots of other Detroit area artists by going to DetroitMusicMag.com. Paul Young, colleague body of Detroit Music Magazine, we want to thank you so much for being with us today on Stateside.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you, Cynthia.